We are beginning a new series today, which is all about how to live as a follower of Jesus in our world today. Every day we spend time with our family, we go to school, we go to work, we talk with our friends, we use technology, we read, we watch, we scroll. But what difference does being a Christian make to any or all of those things? What difference does it make being a Christian in the world that we live in today? Well, to find the answer to that, we're going to be looking at this letter of 1 Peter. And there's a couple of reasons why 1 Peter is a great book to help us for this. And the first thing that we see in the beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, is that it was written by Peter. It's written by Peter the Apostle. He was one of the people that was closest to Jesus on earth. He was the first leader of the church. Like, just think for amazing how amazing the Bible is. That we have a letter that was written by somebody who knew Jesus, who spent time with him, who heard all his teaching, who saw his miracles, who went walking with him and talked with him, who saw the empty tomb and saw his resurrection. That's what we're going to be looking at. This is a letter from Peter. But it's also great to read because of who it is written to. It's written to Christians living in these places, which is now modern-day Turkey. And they were all recent converts to the faith, some coming from Judaism and some coming from the pagan religions. But Peter calls them exiles or refugees, as Karen read earlier, or sometimes they're called strangers or pilgrims or aliens or foreigners. But this word used to say that the home that they're living in is not really their home. Now, maybe some of them was literally true, and maybe they'd moved there from other places. But I think Peter means it more spiritually, that their physical home is not their spiritual home. Because as Christians, their home is heaven. And so really, as they live in these places in Asia, Cappadocia, Galatia, that's just a temporary place that they're on. That as Christians in this world, we are just traveling through. This world is not our home. A few years ago, I was living in London, and the place where I was staying was at the very end of one of the tube lines. And whenever I was in the city and I was on my way home, I had this long journey, and I went through all these various stops. And you'd be on the train, you'd come to a stop, the announcer would say where they were, and you'd look up at the map and think, oh no, this isn't my stop. Then you go on to the next one, and the announcer says, we're at this station. You look at the map and think, no, this isn't my stop yet. And you go past all these just various stops. Sometimes you'd be at them very briefly, sometimes you'd even just go straight through and not stop at all, but sometimes you'd be sitting there for quite a while. Occasionally you might have to change trains or move to a different station. But all those stops were just stops along the journey. They weren't the final destination. It's the same with life. I've had many different homes in my life. I've lived in different houses, different types of accommodation in different parts of the world. And each one of them was just a stop on the journey. None of them were my true home. Because as a Christian, my true home is heaven. And I'm on a journey to that destination. And everything else in between is just a temporary stop. I'm just traveling through this life. And that's what Peter says to these Christians that he's writing to, is this world that you live in is not your true home. But as Christians, we need to know how we should live in this world that we are traveling through. And for the people that Peter is writing to, they're facing trials. They're suffering for their faith. Life is difficult because they're living differently. They may be being excluded from their community. People are starting to be hostile to them, treating them differently. And for them, it's not easy to be a Christian. And see, even though this letter was written 2,000 years ago to people on the other side of the Europe, their context is not too different to ours. Because it's not easy for us to live as Christians either. In fact, it's becoming harder and harder to live as a follower of Jesus in our world that is becoming more and more secular. People say that the West is now post-Christian, that our Christian past is just that. It is in the past. 50 years ago, 90% of Ireland went to church every week. Now that number is under 30%. And in fact, here in Dublin, it's under half of that amount. According to the most recent census here in Dunleary Rathdown, one out of every five of your neighbours has no religion at all. One of the highest rates in the whole country. And we have seen in our culture, haven't we, that there's been this deliberate move away from traditional Christian teaching. I was getting my haircut during the week. Yeah, thank you. It's very nice. And I was chatting to the barber. I had quite a chatty barber, and we were talking about holidays and various things. And then he asked me about work. And I said, oh, I'm the minister of the local Presbyterian church. And then he stopped talking. I kind of get the feeling that maybe he doesn't cut the hair of too many Presbyterian ministers. But it's amazing the reactions I get from people when I tell them what I do, or even just when I share about my faith. Sometimes it's kind of a stunned silence. Sometimes it's kind of a, you're what? What is that? But sometimes people are interested, and they ask you questions. Sometimes people laugh, people kind of ridicule. And even finding that some people are a little aggressive, can be a little bit hostile. They get kind of edgy about what is going to happen. And sometimes I feel out of place. When I tell people that I'm a follower of Jesus, sometimes I feel that I am out of place in this world that I live in. Maybe you found that too. Maybe you're the only Christian in your family. Maybe you're the only Christian in your workplace. Maybe you're the only Christian in your group of friends, and you just know that the way you live, the way you think, is different to those people around you. And sometimes you feel out of place. And definitely the younger you are, the more that you will feel and experience that. The people that Peter was writing to were struggling. They were afraid, and maybe they were thinking about giving up. So Peter writes to encourage them and to instruct them how to live as followers of Jesus in this world. And you see, the reality for them and for us is that it's not easy to be a Christian in this world, but this world is not our home. And so Peter begins his letter by reminding them of their spiritual reality. So if you do have a Bible, it'd be great to open it up at 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 3 to 12. In the Greek, would have just been one sentence. Peter gets excited and he's praising God for how great it is to be a Christian. And these verses are just packed full of why not belonging to this world is actually the best thing. Now, we don't have time to look at it all in detail, and so we're going to be focused more on the first half. And I just want to pick out three things that I think might be encouraging for us this morning. But the first is that we have been given new birth into a living hope. This is what he says in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter picks up this teaching from Jesus to Nicodemus, and he tells them that they have been born again. Becoming a Christian is not like taking up a new hobby. No, when we come to Christ in faith and repentance, we are given a whole new spiritual life. There may not be any change on the outside, but on the inside, there has been a complete transformation. We are a new spiritual being with a new identity. When we come to faith, the Holy Spirit floods our hearts and forever changes who we are. We have been given a new birth into a living hope. As we've seen over these last 18 months, our world is in desperate need of hope. But Peter reminds us that we have a hope. We have a hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was dead and he was in a tomb, but now he is alive forever. After his sufferings came glory, and it will be the same for us too. After our sufferings, we will share in his glory. Our hope is tied to Christ. And if Jesus is alive, then our hope is alive too. We have been born again into a living hope and into, as it says in verse 4, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that is kept in heaven for you. I inherited a dresser from my grandmother. It's sitting in our dining room at the moment. It's old. There are a few scratches on it, a few dents. One of the drawers contains just other parts of the dressers that had fallen off over the years. But I love it and I'm very happy to have it there. But up until I moved into the manse, I had nowhere to put it. So very kindly, my parents kept it for me for many years until they were happy to get rid of it and pass it on to me. Don't know if you've ever inherited anything, but what Peter says here is that we have this heavenly inheritance. It's an inheritance that can never perish, that can never spoil, that can never fade. And it's kept in heaven for us until it's time for us to receive it. It's an inheritance that is eternal, that is pure, that is beautiful. It is untouched by death or unstained by evil and unimpaired by time. And just like the Israelites wandered in the desert waiting for their inheritance of the promised land, we are traveling through this world to our heavenly home to receive our eternal inheritance. Peter, the whole way through this letter, reminds them, the people that are reading his letter, where they are going. Now in this life, we are just traveling through. We're just traveling through. The trials that we face, they're not our destination. They're just a step on the journey we're just traveling through. Illness, sickness, and disease, we're just traveling through. The grief that we feel, the sufferings, we're just traveling through because we're moving towards our home to receive salvation, healing, and eternal life. And until Jesus returns, that inheritance is secure and we are shielded. If you look at verses 5-6, Peter says that you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in this last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These Christians living in northern Turkey were experiencing all kinds of trials and a variety of temptation. And Peter doesn't specify exactly what those trials are, probably because they were just all so different, that everyone was going through their own thing. It's just like all of us. We're suffering a variety of trials. You know, the pandemic, we all suffered during that time, but we all suffered in very different ways. It was an uphill journey for all of us, and I know that it was especially difficult for some of us. All of us here today, whether because of the pandemic or just life, are facing trials. We all are facing a trial this morning, whether it's our own physical or mental health, whether it's the health of a loved one, whether it's some problem in your family, a difficulty in your marriage, whether it's the death of someone close to you, the loss of a job, the uncertainty of your future. We are all facing trials. But see what Peter says about those trials. He says that they are temporary and we are shielded from them. They are temporary and we are shielded from them. The trials are temporary, but our inheritance is eternal. And while we wait for that salvation, we are shielded by God's power through faith. Though 1,000 arrows may come our way, our God will keep us safe from all of them. As we travel through this world, God guarantees us that our heavenly destination and that we will reach it. Both the end and the way to get there is secure. Doesn't that give you joy this morning? Can you feel that joy? Church, hear the word of God for you this morning. You are born again into a living hope. You are an heir to an eternal inheritance. You are shielded by God's power through faith. And all these themes that we see in this introduction, Peter picks up later on in the letter. And over these next few weeks, we're going to be going into them in more detail. And we're going to be practically thinking how we can apply those out into every single area of our life. But let me just suggest two things to you as we close. First of all, for those of us that are here this morning as Christians, let these words shape your identity. Take them in and realize who you are and what Jesus has done for you. One of the things I've been trying to do over the last few weeks is to make a better use of my mornings. And so first thing, rather than just grabbing my phone and scrolling and looking at the things that might make me angry or fill my anxiety or just tell me lies about myself or this world, I try to give myself a little pep talk and tell myself who God is and who I am. Just very simple, but to start my day with the truth about who God is and who I am. What difference would it make to say to yourself these three things every day? That to wake up in the morning and the first thought you had was saying, I am born again into a living hope. I am an heir to an eternal inheritance. I am shielded by God's power through faith. As you face a trial, as you start to feel anxious, as you start to feel worried about what is going on, when you start to feel overwhelmed by the situations you have in life, to say to yourself, I am born again into a living hope. I am an heir to an eternal inheritance. I am shielded by God's power through faith. When you're finding it difficult to live life as a Christian and you feel the pressure of the world around you to change, to say, I am born again into a living hope. I am an heir to an eternal inheritance. I am shielded by God's power through faith. Let those words just wash over you and fill you and shape your identity of who you are. But maybe this morning you're here and you're not a Christian, but you want to be. That you read this and think, I want that. I want to have that hope. I want to have that joy in times of difficulty. I want to have that certainty and security to know that my place is in heaven. Well, you can have it. It is an invitation that Christ gives to all of us. We can just come to him and accept what he has to offer us. And if you would like to do that, then I'm just going to say a simple prayer now, and I invite you to echo those words in your own heart. But let's come to God and let's pray as we respond to what we have heard. Dear God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that in your great mercy, you would give me new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Forgive my sins and help me to put my trust in Jesus and to live for him. Thank you that you are keeping an inheritance for me that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Lord, as I face trials and suffer grief in this world, I ask that you would shield me by your power through faith until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to live as an exile here on earth, so that my life may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. In his name I pray. Amen.